irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love Radio Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and I have with me Terrell Jackson.
Hello, everyone.
Taj Jackson.
Hello.
Taj, why? You know,
I was getting Twitter ready.
My mic is so
far
away.
Every single week, I have to get on him about getting close to the mic. Today, it's March 22nd, and it was supposed to rain today, but it's not raining. But it's a cool day, and I'm happy to be back. I missed you guys.
I know.
I wasn't talking about you guys, and I was talking about to our listeners. I missed our listeners. Yeah. I didn't miss you guys.
You didn't hear me say anything.
Well, we're live here on the Power of Love Radio Show. So if you're listening to us right now, thanks for joining us. You can use our Twitter handle to tweet us things on our topic today. Todd, you want to give the Twitter handle?
Yes, it's at DDJ Foundation.
Okay, and we'll open up phone calls. We have a special guest today, so he already gave us the green light to open up phone calls. So if you want to call us on topic, I don't want to hear questions about what's Terrell's favorite ice cream flavor, nothing like
that's
that.
Interesting.
What is your favorite flavor?
I just had ice cream.
You might as well just answer it now.
I just had Ben & Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough.
Okay, I'm a fan of Ben & Jerry's, but not the chocolate chip cookie dough.
I almost got Chunky Monkey.
Okay.
But I've never really had that. For Bill, I almost had that.
All right, but if you want to call us on topic, the phone number is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. For a disclaimer, we're not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And we feel that by sharing our experiences, we can help others out there overcome or navigate through whatever they're going through. Mm-hmm. So if you need help, please get professional help. Don't just rely on us. And that's pretty much it. So I like to start the shows with what's been going on. How was your guys' last week?
We lost our baseball game.
Did you?
Yeah, we didn't play well. They didn't come out to play. We had a game yesterday, but it got canceled because of the rain.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
I used to get so frustrated when I was young and I had a rain out and I was looking forward to a game. So how did you handle your loss?
Not good. Not good. I kind of got on the kids a little bit.
What'd you do?
Because the thing is I feel I have the best team, mm-hmm. but at the same time, if they don't
play,
show up, then we're the worst team. So I think we're going to be all right.
What's a learning lesson? It's a teaching lesson for you and a learning lesson for them.
I just want them to improve, and mm-hmm. I want them to, while they're there, to do their best.
And to have fun.
And not fun to lose. It's fun to win.
So, goes, like, what's first? The chicken or the egg, right?
You always got to have fun. Baseball's fun. So I just tell them, if you're going to be here, if you're going to show up, let's try to get better.
Yeah.
You know, or I gave them that option. I said we could goof around or we could try to get better. So I basically got them each to commit to the team. So that's good.
Good.
So we'll see how it goes from here on out.
Good. And Mr. Taj Jackson?
Yes.
Do I have to really repeat the question?
No, I mean, I haven't really been doing anything, to be honest. I've been studying photography, doing my photography thing. But
same thing as 20 years ago.
Yes. Hey, if you want to master something, you got to study it.
All right. Not much has changed with my eldest brother.
But I'm very consistent.
I love it. All right. So, and for me, I was in Nashville the first week, and I got to say, I just loved it. It was so cool. And I know we've been there as 3T for work.
Have we?
I think we have. Yeah, we have. Once or twice.
Taj?
I don't know. Taj.
Yeah, we have.
Are you sure?
I think, Tara, that's when we did the celebrity softball game.
That was Cincinnati.
No, I did it like 3 weeks in a row.
Cincinnati.
I did it like Ohio. 3 weeks in a row, and I airmailed a ball, and it hit a poor kid, and I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, you did. That was
I did
awful.
It like literally 3 weeks in a row.
The ambulance came out.
That was the worst.
That was bad.
It was the worst.
That was really bad.
So I think Tennessee, Nashville was the spot. But It's such a cool spot. Especially, you would love it.
Yeah.
You would love it, Terry. You got to get out there, man.
I want to go there, and I also want to go to Austin again.
Yeah, Austin's cool. Yeah. Austin's cool. But I've been to Austin many times because I used to live in Texas. But Nashville is my third or fourth time because I was there for Lexi's basketball tournament.
Right, right, right.
But never for just riding. And it was fun, man.
That's
was
great. Cool. All styles of music?
All styles of music and a lot of respect for music.
Yeah.
You know, you go, you land in the airport and you see guitars everywhere and music ads. You know, it's the land of music. It's the city of music.
That's
so
nice.
Music City. So I recommend you going for sure. Anyway, without further ado, we're going to introduce our guest for today. He's a really special guy, a really solid guy. Always impresses me. Anything else you guys want to add?
No, I want to introduce him because I want to ask him if he's been to Tennessee.
Okay, go ahead. Do your thing.
Cameron.
Cameron what?
Huh?
Last name, Cameron Mooney. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun.
Me, man.
Okay.
Jeez.
Okay. So we have with us an amazing music therapist, Cameron Mooney, right? And go ahead, Taj. Terrell, take it away.
Okay, can I ask my Tennessee question?
Yes, sir.
Tennessee. Have you been to Tennessee?
I have. Nashville,
yeah.
I have been to Tennessee. I've been to Nashville for about an hour. I went to Tennessee a year and a half ago for a community development conference, and the guy that booked our tickets, it was in Memphis, flew us into Nashville on accident. So we got there and had to rent a car and immediately drive like 4 hours to Memphis. So I got barbecue there and then headed to Memphis.
How was the drive?
It was.
Let's turn it into a positive. How was the drive?
It was beautiful. I love traveling. See? I love going different places. Memphis was great. There's a lot of music there too. But I'm hoping to go to Nashville in the next year or two. We have some friends moving out there, so.
So it's a cool. 4 hour drive.
Yeah, it was something like that. I think it was about four
and
hours.
It's a nice drive.
I slept a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I was actually also there a couple of years ago. Well, many years ago for a friend's wedding.
Are we talking Nashville?
Yeah, for a friend's Brad's wedding. But yeah, Nashville's cool.
Doing?
He's good. I saw him. He's awesome.
I didn't know he was there.
All right. But anyway, so Cameron, first of all, you look very young. I've always admired you, Cameron, because you look like you're in your
12.
I'm a very mature 14.
You just look so young, and you're so controlled. And I gotta say, and I've never told, maybe I have, but I don't think I've told you this. Cameron did the Boys and Girls Club music therapy programs with us, with the kids and the teens, and you know it was in Watts, California. And it was in an environment where it was, you know, it was a different environment than where we're at, which is the Valley, where you live out here. Yeah. So where we live. And, you know, Cameron, I got to commend you because you were solid, you know, and handling a group of kids that probably weren't expecting you. And they ended up gravitating to you and really leaning on you and loving you. And, you know, I'm a big fan of your work and how you go about it. My question is, how did you get into music therapy?
Well, thank you for all that.
Yeah, of course.
I appreciate it very
much.
Just
pay me later, but it's all good.
You said everything I asked you to.
Yeah. Did I get it right? Yeah.
Man, I got into music therapy, so...
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I got to interrupt. Yeah. I want to know how you got into music first.
How I got into music. That's
and
a good
then
question.
Then let's do music
yeah,
therapy.
Absolutely. And they kind of tie together. So I grew up in a family that had a lot of music playing. My grandpa still sings. I think they finally just stopped doing events, but in a gospel quartet that he started in high school. And my dad joined it when he was older. And so my dad wasn't a singer-songwriter, but he played a lot of singer-songwriter music growing up. So James Taylor, things like that. And so I grew up around a lot of music. I didn't start taking any lessons until I was 12. When I was 12, I started taking piano lessons and then stuck with that. So I was about 18. So yeah, that's how I got into music. I mean, like everybody, I loved music growing up. Who doesn't love music? And I was involved in music in high school at my church. I would play in the band there. So that's when I got to start playing with other people a lot more and kind of exploring it creatively in different ways. So
are you from here?
I'm from Simi Valley. So I was actually born in the Valley, grew up in Simi Valley, and now I live in North Hollywood.
Okay, so
been around LA, been around my whole life.
And then you went to CSUN for music therapy.
Yeah, so that wasn't always part of the plan. I when I was so growing up, this goes a little bit back, but my parents did foster care, and so I was around kids a lot. I come from a big family as well, and so from high school, I thought I was going to do music forever. That was my plan, even from early in high school. I was like, I want to write music. I want to write music for TV and films. I knew a lot of schools around here offered that as part of their major. I knew CSUN did, and I thought I'd probably end up going there if I could get in. And then when I was 18, I got this job. A friend of mine got me a job doing respite care for children with special needs. So respite care is just going and hanging out with kids so parents can have a break, basically. And I loved it. I loved being able to be there for families and learn about them, learn about their kids. And I was really young at that. I mean, I was 18. And got to have this job that was super fulfilling after I had just worked at some restaurants and some family businesses and stuff. So I do that, and then right at the kind of the start of college, and I'm doing it for 2 years as I'm going to junior college. And at the end of the 2 years, I'm super conflicted because I'm like, man, I wanted to do music. That's all I wanted. Now I've been working with kids for 2 years, though. Like, now I want to work with kids. I loved it. Yeah. It's that like high level of job satisfaction, which is so hard to find nowadays. So many people are dissatisfied with what they're doing. And I loved it already. So I'm like, and I had taken a couple child development classes just to look into it. And I was really enjoying that. And so I felt this big conflict with them. Like, I feel like I can't do both. I can't give myself fully to music. I can't give myself fully to helping kids or doing some type of therapy or child development. And I had remembered my dad had always mentioned, he's like, I knew this guy that worked in music therapy at Cal State Northridge, and I would always just blow him off. I'm like, I don't know what that is. It sounds weird. Probably is weird.
Yeah.
And then that came back into my head like years later. I was like, and so I got in touch with this guy who was Ron Borzon, who's been on the show before. And I was like, can I just come and meet with you and ask you basically what is music therapy? It like finally clicked in my head. It's music and it's therapy. Maybe it'll bring the two things I'm conflicted about together.
That is so cool.
So I went and met with him. And by the end of the conversation, I like registered for a conference in San Diego. Boom, I was down there that weekend to learn more about music therapy. And by the end of that conference, I was like, I'm switching my major. Wow. And I was in the process of already transferring basically to CSUN to try and get in for media composition. And I was like, this is it. This is what I need to do. It kind of brought those two outlets in my life together. So yeah, it was really cool that those kind of came together for me.
That is cool. And then, so then fast forward many years, and we'll take it back to last year.
Yeah.
We met with Ron to discuss developing and launching a type of music therapy program for kids that needed it. And he brought us on to you. And you joined us and helped us launch our Boys and Girls Music Therapy Program. What takeaway or what memories stick out for you during those two sessions?
Yeah, man, so many. I remember you guys coming over a year ago and meeting with Ron and I. I was super excited to be able to be a part of that. I'm always surprised by how well things go when music is involved. Pleasantly surprised. I'll get nervous like stepping into a new setting and being like, people are going to think this is weird, or we're songwriting with people that never have written before, or they don't know what music therapy is. And so there's always that just that doubt that's there, like, I wonder how it's going to go. And then you step in, and from the moment, I mean, the first thing we did was play drums with the kids that were there and did a kind of a drum circle, and boom, right away those younger kids just jumped in and started playing. And I still remember that first day and just playing there and seeing them walk in, and already we had made this connection before we'd even talked to each other, because it was the first thing we did is just, hey, just grab a drum, start playing. And then finally we talked out of that after that, and it's like, oh, we already connected. We already played
music. Is that something together. You do a lot with whenever you're doing a class or like that? You like to start it off with music and kind of finding a connection sonically?
Yeah. I think of it in a couple different ways. That would be one, is trying to connect. But it's also, it helps a lot with some sessions. I don't always do it, but to set a tone right away so that right when people walk in, they understand that this is like a different space. We're going to do something that's unexpected right away. You might be a little uncomfortable, but and it's to try to change the energy right away to trigger people so that they're out of their daily routine, especially if I'm doing groups. So I do groups at rehabs, and I'll do the same thing.
And you know what's cool to me about that? I think I may be wrong, you guys comment, but I feel like the term therapy had mm-hmm. like a, especially for a kid,
yeah.
like kids don't want to do therapy. Yeah. They're therapy, I don't want it, anything to do with it.
Yeah.
So when they walk in, they're walking in one way thinking they're going to get interrogated
mm-hmm. yeah.
or anything like that. And then mm-hmm. they see it's just people yeah. playing music,
yeah.
you know, or people making rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a huge, great tactic to you know, lower everyone's fears mm-hmm. and get them all to yeah. contribute. It was cool.
I remember as a student, even, it was one thing that Ron would do or some of the other professors. Like, it would be finals week, and you'd walk in all stressed, and he'd be like, okay, everyone grab a drum or grab an instrument. Let's all play together for a little bit. Just to change kind of your mindset as you're stepping in. And so, yeah, it was something I always appreciated being there. And I think it worked out for the setting we were in, especially mm-hmm. To get the kids kind of involved right away from the get-go.
Now, we did songs. We studied songs like Wonderful by Louis Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blanking on that. Is it Wonderful Life?
What a Wonderful World. Mm-hmm.
By Louis Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
We even did. Todd, I don't want to hear that.
Todd, should we play that? Huh? Did we play that a couple?
What?
Did we play that like a show ago?
No.
No.
He's slow.
Okay. So, but
wait,
songs
I have a question real quick.
Yeah. Before. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you explain to the listeners what is music therapy?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to put it.
Let's get this back on track.
In
the whole topic.
I like to put it in, when I'm asked that question, in as simple terms as I can, and it's difficult at times. I have a whole book called Defining Music Therapy that goes through all these different definitions, like 150.
What,
do you
write the definitions out?
No, it's a book like that has
okay,
all these
you
like
purchased
explains.
Okay.
No, I didn't write.
Okay, the camera.
I've written no books on music therapy.
Okay.
The way that I see it is music therapy is using music to meet goals in a therapeutic situation that aren't musical. So what you're working on, your universal goals, the things that are you're really trying to get to, have nothing to do with music, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're a creative goal, like I want to increase their creative output, I want to give them something else. That doesn't exactly have to do with music. But music is the tool always used to meet that goal that isn't musical. And that goal is defined. So any session that I do... and it was the same way with ours that I would have at the end of our breakdown for each day. Like, these are the three things that I want to get done today. And some of them have nothing to do with music, but music is going to be involved
mm-hmm.
every step of the way in some way as a tool to get us there. And so if you think of that in terms of, working with someone that needs to develop their motor skills again after an accident. And so, okay, well, we can use music as rhythm to try and work on walking, or teaching you to play piano to use your mm-hmm. fingers again, or as a memory tool. And so it's working on all these different things, but using music to get there.
That's
so the class we did was mm-hmm. more kids from, you know, inner city that had struggles with loss,
mm-hmm.
whether it was all types of loss.
Yeah.
But you've done groups with other types of
mm-hmm.
disadvantages.
Yeah.
Like, can you explain what that may be like compared to what we did, or what's the common thread, or give us any insight on that?
Yeah, I've been lucky enough as a student and as a professional over the last handful of years to work in a lot of different types of settings. One of the ones I work in most right now is actually adult drug and alcohol rehabilitation facilities, and doing groups there.
With music?
With music, yeah. Music therapy groups with anywhere from 5 to 15 adults.
And so are you starting it the same way with drums? And
sometimes. I mean, I'm there once a week or twice a week. Indefinitely, and so I'm seeing people as they're there for anywhere from 30 to 90 days. Sometimes we'll do drumming. I always say, like, my sessions are a mixture of listening to music, playing music, or writing music. So some sessions are all about listening, and we'll only listen to songs and then talk about them. And the goal of that session isn't to listen to songs. The goal of that session is to get people to process something, to think about something a different way. Music is the tool that helps us get there. Or I'll do songwriting groups like we've done at the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, but with adults, and over a few weeks working on writing songs to help process what they're going through. Or we'll do drumming sessions where the whole hour that I'm there, we'll play music together, because it's amazing for someone that's never picked up an instrument before to realize they can be involved actively in music, because in our culture that you don't do that unless you're a musician, right? And music is a passive thing that we experience unless we're musicians. And in our culture, where it's always on, it's in the background, it's in the elevator, it's in the restaurant, it's in your car. But if you didn't learn to play it, you're just a passive observer often, or you're singing along, which that's your active amount. And people don't realize that there's so much that you can be involved in when it comes to music. So getting someone to pick up a drum or a shaker and be like, oh, I can play, because rhythm is already built into me. It's in the way I walk. It's in the way my heart beats. It's in the way that I wake up and go to sleep. And boom, all right there, they've just realized something that they've never thought of before and are experiencing life and creativity in a way that they've never done 2 minutes into walking into a room with a weird music therapist.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I'm a quotes guy. So, and one quote I that keeps reaching out to me is by Yehudi.
Oh, you're going to go with that one, huh? I saw the name on it, and I was like, I don't even know if I...
Yehudi... Menuhin.
Menuhin?
You're brave.
We're going to take your word for it.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I love the quote because it's very powerful. You want to read it, Todd?
Yeah, sure.
Seems like you have the same quote.
Yes. Music is a therapy. It's a communication far more powerful than words, far more immediate, far more efficient.
Mm. Yeah, and it's so cool because I think that's right on.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we... I don't want to say take advantage, or we don't understand that. We don't give it that power, but music does have that power to transcend.
Yeah.
And what was so cool for me was when we did the classes, was seeing the kids who come, whether they had a bad day, whether they're having a bad month, to see the transformation. And the common thread was music. And it wasn't necessarily music they listened to.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I loved about what you did, Cameron. It was What a Wonderful World and songs that they may have heard but really don't play every day. And to see how the music and the voice of Louis Armstrong and the words he's using and the colors and, you know, all that really changed their lives without them knowing it. So I'm in a music family, so I've always valued music, but it was really cool to see kids that may not have been from music really come around.
I like I do this often in sessions where we did in the D.D. Jackson, where we listen to song with the lyrics in front of us and just have you read along, and I'll ask you a question afterwards. What stood out to you? And one of the things I'm so consistently surprised by in so many different settings is just by doing that, it can be a song that people have heard, like What a Wonderful World, heard 1,000 times before, but never sat and put themselves fully into it by just immersing and reading through it and really listening to it. And so I can listen to a song like that with a group and afterwards ask a question like, what did that mean to you? And all of a sudden they're talking about, oh my gosh, that made me think of when I was a child and this happened with my dad, or that just made me miss this about home. I didn't realize I was missing this. And it's like that song probably played on the radio or something like that last week and it didn't have that effect. It's because taking the time to sit and really immerse yourself in music and not just be a passive observer, but be an active observer of it, kind of dive into it. That in and of itself is something that even us as musicians, we don't do often. Unless we're writing a song, how often do we sit down and just listen and try and put ourselves in the shoes of the person that wrote it and is singing it, or think to ourselves like, why do I like this song so much? What do I like about it? Why does it stick out to me? And so it's those simplest little things that can be the biggest surprises. So I was surprised even when I chose What a Wonderful World, like, I wonder how young kids are going to respond to listening to this old song. But they did amazing.
They did great. Very good. And I don't know if we can, but there's some lyrics that they came up with that were so awesome. You know, so awesome. Another thing that I think is important to discuss, Cameron, is your approach, because you never pried, you never made any, because all of our, pretty much not all, but the vast majority of our time with the Boys and Girls Kids was in a group setting, and you kind of let kids go at their own speed and pace, and I commend you for that, especially with the schedule. You know, I think one class was 6 weeks and the other was 8 weeks, but it was like, I felt like just being there, the mm-hmm. kids were getting therapy, mm-hmm. even if they really didn't quote unquote open up and, yeah. and tell their story. Just being there and being in a setting where they can express themselves and write things down mm-hmm. or hear other people, some of the other kids' stories, did a lot for them.
Yeah.
Where did you, is that something you learned in school about how to let people go at their own time? Because some therapists I've been around mm-hmm. will try to pry and get you, you got to do this, you got to say, how did you come up with your more chill?
Man, I thought a lot about what type of setting I was walking into before we got there. Mm. And you're right. Like, I'm walking into a Boys and Girls Club as 26-year-old
white guy
yeah. that grew up in the suburbs. Like,
yeah.
Man, I don't have a similar thread
yeah.
To these kids growing up, except for maybe music.
Yeah.
That I enjoyed it. And that I was a kid at one point, and so if I was to walk in there, and I find I have to do this, I mean, in most settings I walk into, because if I'm doing a session at a drug and alcohol rehab, I'm not a recovering addict, and I'm young. Mm-hmm. And so...
So you have to find this
almost
common...
almost by necessity. I can't walk in with too much authority, because people would be averse to that, I think, seeing me
yeah.
in both of those settings.
Yeah.
And so some of it's by necessity, I think, because as I process through it beforehand, I'm like, it won't, if I step in with too much authority or assuming too much, first of all, I'll probably be wrong if I try and make too many assumptions about kids like this that grew up in a different setting than me. And so as much as it's a process for letting them kind of take at their own speed, it's also for me as the therapist to, I don't want to rush and think I know too much about them. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Think that I understand them before I really do. And so if I don't take those first couple weeks to really slowly get to see where they're at, hear a little bit of the story, oh, which ones of these kids are willing to talk a little bit? Which ones of these kids have done something like this before? Which ones are real, like holding on to their pain really heavily? And kind of get a few of those questions answered before I try and ask too much of them, then I'm not going to end up being successful, because I'll probably walk in with the wrong assumptions. And I would have walked in with a lot of wrong assumptions mm-hmm. if I had made mm-hmm. too many. So I think some of it comes from probably realizing as a student even that when I would assume things, my assumptions were usually thrown out within the first 2 minutes of a session that I had planned. And so if I can plan as good as possible, but knowing that things might shift and things might be different, or leave room, as you're saying, like allowing the kids to move slowly through the songwriting process and at their own pace and opening up at their own pace, then I don't have a lot of ways that I'll end up being like disappointed in what ends up happening that day. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because there's so many different ways that they can succeed. And so with the program we did, I tried to set it up to where there was these baby steps to get them into songwriting. So what are we going to do first? We'll listen to music first. We'll mm-hmm. talk about, well, what do you like about the song? Mm-hmm. What about the rhythm stands out to you? What about the words? And then you have, okay, so those are the types of things you like. Okay, well, let's take a really simple song like "What a Wonderful World" or "Imagine" by John Lennon, and let's take some of those themes that you liked, and let's make up some of our own words, or let's write a haiku together based off of some of your favorite lines from the last song. And then all of a sudden, okay, so now they've written something a little bit. What if we take what you wrote a little bit and we expand it? What's the next thought from that? And how do we add a rhyme? And so it's just these little steps, and then boom, by the third week after they've done those baby steps, it's like, okay, well, let's write a song together. And they're like, oh, I've never written a song. Well, you've done all the mm-hmm. things already. Mm-hmm. We've played drums together. You know what rhythm is.
And I love that, because that's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw it broken down to manageable pieces. You know, I never thought of writing a song by writing a haiku first.
Yeah.
You know, but it was something that they could do and be proud of, and like you said, and then eventually you may want to introduce a rhyme, you know, what word rhyme. And you kept it always light and fun for the kids, so it's really cool.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
How do you handle, like, not even a kid, but if someone in that environment is combative with mm-hmm. you, kind of because they're in pain?
Yeah.
But they're, like, kind of not wanting to give in. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that in terms of... What's your approach?
Combative in that there's some way that they're butting up to what I'm doing.
Yes.
Kinda, yeah.
Like, I don't want to do this.
There's always a balance, I think, within any group session as to where it's like, I need to do as much as I can as the facilitator, the music therapist, to help as many of these kids as possible. And so you're limited, and you can't focus in on one type of kid, okay. One that's really extroverted. You can't focus in on, okay, we're going to try and form this group for the kids that are really introverted, because you're going to end up leaving people out, so you keep it broad. Mm-hmm. And then, so as I was saying, like, there's this balance of, okay, we need to try and reach everyone. If someone's behavior or disruption is disrupting everyone else's process, mm-hmm. to a point, and this never happened with us,
yeah.
To a point where it's going to affect everyone else's growth, there are times where you're like, okay, I'm going to work with that kid maybe one-on-one, mm-hmm. a little while, okay. until he's ready to be in a group setting in a healthy way. But if someone's doing that in a way that's not really bringing down the group in a big way, I mean, it just depends. There's different ways of butting up. Some of the kids that did butt up against what I was doing was by doing nothing sometimes, yeah. right? Like, oh, do you want to write something? No, I don't want to write anything. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be creative, mm-hmm. And try and get something tiny out of them. We'll listen to some of the songs, and I can point out, like, this girl talking at the end of this track, that was 6 weeks of us trying to get her to say anything, because mm-hmm. she wouldn't write anything down.
Yeah, I remember.
And so how did we do those baby steps? Well, we had to take those baby steps that we made for everyone and break them down even smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And so you tailor it to them in that sense. And luckily, I mean, at our program, we had so many good volunteers between you guys, mm-hmm. and the people that came in to help us that cared about the kids. They didn't come in with assumptions about, oh, this is going to make me look great. This mm-hmm. is, I have something amazing to offer. Everyone came in with a lot of humility, which helped me. Because I trusted the people that I saw there to be help to the kids. And so if someone's being quiet, you can help be their voice. If someone's overpowering somebody else, if that's how they're butting up, or if they're interrupting me. I mean, I didn't talk about this earlier, but I used to be in behavioral therapy before I got into music therapy. That was after I did respite care. And in behavioral therapy, I did it with children with autism, you look at what is like the functions of someone's behavior. And you can look at anyone's behavior, yours, mine, just about anyone's. And if you really want to categorize it, you can categorize it. And are they trying to get attention? Are they trying to get access to something they don't have? Are they doing it for some feeling or sensation that they're trying to get? Are they doing it to escape something? And so mm-hmm. most of all of our, and now that's oversimplifying things, but you can look at most behaviors from people and they can fall into one of those mm-hmm. things. Why are we doing something? And so because I have that background of having done behavioral therapy, a lot of times I look at these kids and if they're responding to me in a way that's adverse or that to what needs to happen in the group, I'll try and think through that quickly. Like, well, why would they do this right now? What did I do right before this that made them do that? And if I can calculate in my head and be like, well, maybe it's for attention, or maybe they're trying to escape. Okay, well, if it's for attention, it's not wrong that someone wants attention, right?
Right.
Like, I have a 14-month-old daughter. It's not wrong that she like she constantly wants her mom.
Yeah.
But now she's starting to learn at the beginning phases of learning what is the appropriate way to ask for mom, right? It's not yelling. She learned how to say mama now, so like don't always give her the. So it's like going. Looking at in the most basic way. So if someone wants attention, it's almost never wrong to want attention. It's about the way that we go about trying to get it. Mm-hmm. And so if a kid's trying to get it in an appropriate way, it's about giving it to them in an appropriate way and at the appropriate time. Or if they're trying to escape, well, it's not always wrong to want to get out of something. Mm-hmm. But in life, you have to learn that sometimes you have to get through things that aren't easy mm-hmm. to get to the reward at the end. And so you talk with them, hey, maybe can we try this for 5 minutes and then we'll take a break and I'll go hang out outside and play basketball with you for a minute.
Yeah.
So it's looking at those categories and trying to figure out, well, where does this fit right now? And what's the most successful, non-prideful, humble way that I can approach this mm-hmm. to help this kid get to where we're trying to get to?
So, I mean, we did a lot of songs. What did we do? I think it was 3 or 4 with the kids and then 4 with the teens.
I think we did 3 and 3.
Three and three.
So 6 songs total.
Okay, so I have 4 here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to play them all, but I'm going to play Limitless. Mm-hmm. All right, which is the one you were talking about.
Yeah, so. this one has a girl talking at the end. We'll listen to it. But this was from the teens group.
Correct.
The groups,
Boys and Girls Club.
And yeah, at the Boys and Girls Club, we were always separated into three songwriting groups by the third week, I think mm-hmm. it was. And that I would work really focused with one, and then the volunteers like you guys would work with a couple others, and I would go advise and help you guys out. This was one of the groups with a guy named Phil, who was a songwriter that came in to help one of the groups. And so this is a song that he helped to put together with the teens.
Cool. Here's Limitless.
Feel my strength in the air like a bright light of flame. I find it and light it and got it up in the air. Now I'm limitless. Yeah, I'm feeling it, now I'm venomous. Nothing can stop me now.
Beat the dump trucks with a tumbler, got unstuck. Now I'm limitless, and y'all feeling this? Yeah, I'm living this moment. I'ma own it in the face of my opponent. Man, I guess you'll have to postpone it. Oh yeah, I got this feeling in the air, the right vibe in the sky. Hit it high, let it fly, leave you mystified. Yeah, and that's no lie, 'cause there's no limits to what I got to finish.
Stop me now.
Turn the past to ash, let it burn fast. No more pain in the brain, man, I'm past that. But I still get flashbacks in my mind so deep inside. I wanna cry, but I know now's not the time. I gotta hit it hard till it tears me apart. In the heart, I gotta find hope in the art. But enough of that, I'ma stay tough and tack. Spitting rugged rap, now I know I'm limitless. Never looking back.
Stop me now.
Imagine no violence. Imagine peace. Imagine more love. Imagine no poverty. Imagine no more hate. Imagine no money. Imagine being limitless. Imagine no life. Imagine no more hate.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Such a good song.
So that was... That is Limitless, and that was one of the groups that from the D.D. Jackson Foundation Power Love program we did, and I'm smiling through it because it was really cool to see these kids really open up,
yeah.
Cameron, and I forgot the female's name. I wouldn't say it anyway,
yeah.
But I remember she was so, not combative, but she wasn't, she was one of the more difficult ones.
Yeah, she was combative in her way, which yeah. was being... doing nothing basically.
Yeah, and she was, you know, I'm not good in, I have a horrible voice, mm-hmm. I don't know what to write, da da da, I can't sing, da da da, but she even contributed.
Oh,
you know? And
yeah, her
cool.
doing that talking part at the end was such a big deal to get to that point after, because her ideal day was sitting at the Boys and Girls Club and reading a book to herself or talking quietly with one of her friends, you know what I mean?
Right.
Very quiet. So that was a big deal for her.
Yeah.
Want to listen to another one? Or
Yeah,
you guys want to hear another one?
Yeah.
Okay, this one, I'm going to play Bright Like the Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I heard a bit of these, because Cameron, I mean, it's not like at the Boys and Girls Club we were able to turn them into these records. Cameron's been living with them for a little bit.
Yeah.
And polishing them up a bit. So I liked what you did with this by opening the tracks, and it wasn't so much just verse, melody. You let the kids kind of be kids in this one.
That's great.
So this one's Bright Like the Sun, and this was from the kids group.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Bright Like the Sun.
Hello, this is Edward, and this song is coming straight out from the Boys and Girls Club. So I hope you enjoy.
Okay. Hello? Is it working?
It's working.
Okay.
I live here.
people up. I know them when they're weak. No matter how sad they are, I want them to believe. Because life is hard, we gotta have fun. So keep it light and bright like the sun. I see animals, they play at the zoo. They make me laugh when they act a fool. I like soccer, yes, kicking a goal. Doing things for others is worth more than gold. I lift people up, I help them when they're weak. No matter how sad they are, I want them to believe. Because life is hard, we gotta have fun. So keep it light and bright like the sun.
So that's bright like the sun. And what was the biggest difference between working with the kids and working with the teens?
I would say a big difference was the amount of guidance that the kids needed to go along. So like the young kids just need a lot of more help along each step. Well, how do you write a rhyme? How do you get to the next line? And you can keep it more simple, obviously, with the themes that you're going with, but really helping them through each step. For the older kids that were there, the teenagers, some of them already were writing music before we got there, and some of them liked writing poetry or something like that, and so you could give them a lot more leadership in the writing process. Like, so I could take a couple of the teens and say, okay, take 15 minutes, go try and write some parts of the verse, where with the kids, if you didn't sit there with them and really help them through each step, then it was kind of harder for them to understand. But I mean, besides that, the involvement and the excitement, I think, was really similar between both groups that we did.
We have a Twitter question.
Yeah.
From Gigi. She wants to know, Cameron, have you done music therapy for patients in the hospital?
As a student, when I was doing outreach groups, I did some outreach at local hospitals in the valley here. I haven't done it as a professional, but I know lots of people that do, and a lot of hospitals that actually offer it. So Children's Hospital in Los Angeles has multiple music therapists that work there, and other hospitals in the LA area and around the country are starting to hire them. They're seeing the value in it.
And
a lot of hospitals are hiring music therapists to go and work one-on-one with patients in their rooms right now.
One more question.
Yeah.
This is from Tiffany. She wants to know, what are some ways a person can try to use music therapy if you're by yourself to heal yourself alone, like basically?
Yeah. No, that's a good question.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. I would say take opportunities to not just be a passive observer of music.
Great.
To try and involve yourself into it. And so if that's taking time to just sit and listen and ask yourself some questions about songs that have always been really powerful to you, but you never really thought why. Mm-hmm. So sit and listen to them, maybe even read out the lyrics and try and think to yourself, like, why is this important to me? And even that can be a therapeutic process. Mm-hmm. If you have opportunities to try and learn an instrument or try and write music, people are really scared of something like that, doing something new. I think if I had never done it as a kid, I'd be afraid to start when I'm older. But take something like the ukulele, which is really simple. We taught some of the kids at the D.D. Jackson Foundation to play a couple chords in the ukulele. You can learn it in a day and play a song and do something. Use music as the way to try something new and creative, to kind of activate your brain in a new way. I think that's a good way
as
well.
Great advice.
Cool. So we are going to go ahead and play The Feeling. So let's check out The Feeling, and then we'll get some comment on that one.
Man, it's so hard, I still feel the pain. It's hard to overcome, it's hard to obtain. It's just something I can't explain. Weighing so heavily on my brain. Try to run away, try to break the chains. But yet I still feel so contained. Try to move forward when no ground was gained. Cause there it was coming back again.
Sad that no one ever truly understood my struggles and loneliness until the day I met you. Very capable, fighting one against two, and there's no way he
possible that we can lose.
The struggle lasted oh so long. That's why I wrote this here song, hoping they all know that they were wrong. When I say I don't belong,
but I stay very, very strong. I stay strong because of you, knowing there's nothing I can't do. Cause even when I lose, I'm still with you.
Sad that no one ever truly understood my struggles and loneliness until the day I met you. Together we're very capable, fighting one against two. And there's no way possible we can. Together we're very capable, fighting one against two. And there's no way possible that we can lose.
Yeah,
that's great.
I love it. Obviously, you can hear the teens.
Yeah.
And what was so cool is that you had two different kind styles of music. Uh-huh. You had like an aggressive rap by a sweet kid. Mm-hmm. And then you had the nice kind of folk singing, which was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was cool. At Rachel Ann McFarland, she does one of the voices on American Dad.
Came out for that day.
And she helped us to kind of finish writing it and then took like 10 minutes in the studio so you can hear her on the chorus singing with us in that part. And that was a big deal to have someone like that. Just having guests come in and participate, I think, was a big deal.
Completely right.
So that was awesome to have her on that track.
I remember when she introduced herself, the kids got all excited with her doing the voice on, Family Guy?
American Dad.
So she does a voice on there. So
yeah.
And that's a good way, that's a good segue for me to say, is thank you for all of our volunteers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, We don't get a chance to thank you enough.
Absolutely.
But you guys did so much for those programs. And if you're listening, thank you so much from all of us.
And the sponsors.
For allowing us to do that. And what the other thing I'm going to say is I loved this because not only was the process impactful and helpful for them, but it's something they could take away that now they get to keep forever and they get to play in 5-10 years and bring back some good memories on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have anything, Taj, Taro?
No, I remember before, even with the kids, the very first class, I remember us sitting in that circle, and before we even started, you said, let's just start off with drums.
Yeah.
And just when they, cause like you said before, when it was a different environment for them. So mm-hmm. coming in, we were just, I remember just like as they came in, you're like, all right, just grab a drum and join in. And I think from that point on, I think the kids didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
Like TJ said, the word therapy. And, you know, there's a lot of children, they don't know us. And some have been through more than others. And some, to be honest, didn't really at first wanted to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
like, what is this about? Like, why did they sign me up for this? And it was one of the things that was so funny to me was towards the end of that course with the kids, you had other kids coming, mm-hmm. showing up for the class that weren't even signed up because
absolutely.
They just, you know, it turned into a thing where they didn't really want to go, like they didn't want to be there, and to them telling their friends and having them come. And the best thing about it was it opened up an opportunity for them to, if not talk about it and express, to listen and music therapy, you know, deal with loss. And like I said, some was more than others, but it got them talking about it. And I thought that was
absolutely.
That was great about it.
And it was cool because they were really supporting each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like some kids, like, I love this song. And, you know, you could see the excitement mm-hmm. from the kids who had anything to do with that song. It was just mm-hmm. a really, really, really cool program.
Okay. And everyone participated, which mm-hmm. was nice.
Yeah, yeah. Another quote, I'm a quote guy, music washes away from the soul the dust of everyday life.
Oh.
That's Berthold Auerbach. I'll say it again.
That.
Music washes away from the soul the dust of everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of our listeners are music lovers, like you mm-hmm. said earlier, who isn't kind of thing. But I think we got to remember that music is such a powerful key. It's not just a hobby or mm-hmm. a piece of satisfaction, but it's actually a language. It's actually a means of communication.
Mm-hmm.
We have one more song to play, but I'm thinking we should play it on the outro. Or should we play
it
now?
That's fine.
We'll play it on the outro, but Cameron, I just want to thank you on behalf of my brothers and the Dede Jackson Foundation for everything you did. You went way beyond our expectations on what a music therapist would be for these kids. And when we decided to do the Dede Jackson Foundation and a music therapy program, this was exactly what we wanted to do, is make a difference. So I can't thank you enough, Cameron, for everything and all the hard work, and thank your wife, because like you said, you have a young daughter. So she's probably, you're leaving again, because it wasn't close. It was always usually after school, so it was right in the heart of traffic. And the drive isn't close for all of
the
us.
Drive so back
coming
is,
home on the 405 at 6 o'clock in the evening.
You know, but as you know, and as you do every day, you're making a difference. So hats off to you. Tasha, you have anything to say before?
I said it all.
Yeah. Okay.
No, thank you so much.
So we're going to play one more song, but before we do, instead of saying if you liked what you hear, you could visit us, we actually set up a cool thing for your mobile site, for your phone. So you could text. Wait, I'm sorry. Before I even get in that, you got to mention your stuff. So we do have another minute, Cameron, because if people want to know more about you and hear more music you're doing for kids, where are they going?
You can look at a couple different things. So I have a website, cameron-mooney.com. You'll see some about my music therapy work. My wife and I write kids' music and have a YouTube channel of kids' videos. It's called Little Arrow Family Songs. So you can search that. You'll find our website or our YouTube channel, and learn a little bit about why we're writing kids' music. And then I'm in a band, a folk band called Rosie Harlow and the Tall Tale Boys.
Love it. You can find us. Guys are performing locals?
Yeah, we're doing a big country festival in Moore Park called the Oak Heart Country Festival in June.
Nice.
So
cool. We'll
put out a CD next month. So
more time, the website for the kids stuff?
LittleArrowFamily.com. Perfect. You'll find all of our kids' music stuff there.
Check out Cameron's stuff. Cameron's a one-of-a-kind, a special guy.
Yes.
Really is. Okay, now what I was saying before I remember... important thing was that you could text DDJF, those letters, DDJF to 41444. Again, that's 41444. Daryl, why are you looking at me?
Because I'm
like
making
that?
Sure you say this clearly.
basically, the important part.
You're texting DDJF to the number. The number you're going to text it to is
41444. Okay. And that's the easiest way to help support us and donate, and which allows us to do more things beyond the radio show, such as the music therapy program. We are going to be doing another music therapy program over the summer, and you know, your help, your contributions is what makes it happen. So,
and basically what happens is when you text that, a link will come up, and just click the link and then you'll see.
Yeah. And you know, any little bit helps. I don't want people to get intimidated. We know it's hard out there. We know we don't want you to stress your family out, but you know, if it's a dollar, it's a dollar. Any little bit helps, and like I always say, there's no better feeling than giving back and contributing. So do what you can. Otherwise, check out Cameron's sites,
littlearrowfamily.com.
Little Arrow Family.
Or you can just go on YouTube and search Little Arrow Family Songs or something like that, and you'll see it.
Cool. Perfect. And that's pretty much it. We're going to end with Understanding is the Key. Okay.
Understand.
Anything you want to say about that one?
No, this is from the teens group. I guess, yes. This is from the teens group with a guy named Davis. He worked with them.
He was on the show, too. He had a great story.
Oh, Davis came up. That's great. Yeah. So Davis great helped guy. To write this song, and he's the one singing it with the kids on there. So it was awesome to have him out there.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Understanding
is the key.
Thank you
guys for listening.
Yes.
See you next week.
Sometimes you can't handle it, it's too much going on. It feels like there's no one out there to help you when you're alone. When you keep it inside, it feels like you'll explode. Like you've been kicked to the curb along this bumpy road. Understanding is the key to trust. We must open our hearts to fulfill that love. It takes time to overcome, but
up with friends by our side. There's nothing but love and the pain we feel inside. Oh, 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 oh.
You have to learn how to connect with one another. With trust and friendship, you will have each other. Expressing your soul will get you out of your comfort zone. Yeah. You will no longer feel like a cold stone.
Understanding is the key to trust. We must open our hearts to fulfill that love. It takes time to overcome, but with friends by our side,
there's nothing but love and the pain we feel inside. With connection, trust can be gained, and you will no longer feel the pain.